If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome back to Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and I'm wondering, can we kind of whisper right now? I have something to say to my co-host, Jessica Lewis, and instead of saying it before the podcast, I decided to wait until I hit record on the software, and it said slowly, it is time to record.
What is it you wanted to talk about?
Well, so you just sit there. And don't do anything, and I'll run around and do the whole rest of the podcast, and we'll be fine, okay?
Okay, so should I do the edited version or what actually happened in real life?
Either one.
I'm going to go with the real Tiffany and not what we saw on TV, where she was like, I did not just sit there.
Yeah.
Love her so much. Yes.
Yes. Now, as for the person who said that, well, we barely even gotten to see Heather to this point, but you know, that whole situation with tribal council made me wonder if maybe the reason we hadn't seen her was that she hadn't actually been there in Fiji because she acted like she didn't know how it all worked. You don't wait till Jeff says it's time to vote to finally start your whisper campaign.
Well,
that's supposed to be the end of it.
Yeah. And it really did seem so off. I mean, there was so many things about it that it seemed like it was her first tribal council, and she was almost like giddy when she had permission from Jeff.
Well, she was totally
to do
giddy.
Anything, but it was like, well, wait, you've done this before, and you saw this, and I don't know if maybe she was just like going, oh, well, wait, we whispered last time. Why aren't we whispering this time? I don't know. It was weird, but I will say. We got some great Heather content on this past episode. She's got a bit of a trucker mouth, too. So I was loving this. I'm like, there are so many like unexpected things coming out of some of these individuals on this season. And that was one I was not expecting. It was like immediately she was getting bleeped for multiple things she was saying. I was like, love it. This is great. Her.
That's why they couldn't have her on before, because every word she said would have needed to be, it would have just been a string of bleeps.
I'm curious if that was the issue, because if they have to bleep everything you say, well, then yeah, we're just not going to include it, I guess.
I think she was wearing the shirt that you're wearing right now.
I'm wearing this in honor of Tiffany because she was struggling with this whole concept. She didn't have people talking to her. She was talking to the crabs and crew people more than anyone on the day of the vote. So she was being ignored. But then when she got to
I guess we should say for our listeners who are not watching, Jessica's shirt says, do me a favor, ignore me.
There you go. I always forget. There are some people that just listen and don't watch. But then when she gets to tribal council, she wants nothing more than to be ignored. Like, just leave me alone. Yes. Leave me out of this. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be talked about. And unfortunately, she was talked about and she was the go-to vote. So this is in favor of her.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And even though we started by talking about Heather, that's not what we're here to talk about, at least not yet. Today is Tiffany's day, though I'm sure she wishes it wasn't. But as always, we'll review what happened by comparing her game to the rules for winning that I originally wrote way back after season one and have been updating ever since. We will look at all of the non-spoiler information available to us from what we saw on TV, interviews, social media, and more. To see the most recent version, go to our dedicated page at robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed. Now, previously, I used to always say, and videos from CBS. Now, the funny thing is, we actually got a Ponderosa video, which I wasn't sure we'd have. And when I heard it was out, I rushed over to Paramount Plus to see it, only to find it wasn't actually there, but only on Survivor's social media pages. So remind me again why I pay for Paramount Plus.
I'm glad you do, because I borrow it every once in a while.
Anyone from Paramount listening, that's not true.
That's just a joke. I don't know. What are we talking about? Anyway.
No, that's just a joke. Anyway, before we get to the rule, my kids are going to be very upset if you lose me my Paramount Plus account.
How would I lose? I've used it like one time.
Never. You never
used it. I never used it.
Yes.
Listen, I have my own issues with CBS because this is what happened.
I bet you do.
I do. I was getting double charged when I was paying for the Paramount Plus and then also like, it was like it's $5.99 a month or whatever it was. I don't know. Mm-hmm. They were double charging me. I was getting charged from like my like PayPal account and also my credit card. And I was like,
oh, cool.
What the hell? So I had to call. It turned into this whole thing. I had to get my money refunded. So that was why I ended up canceling, because that was what was happening. It all got screwed up. So there is a reason for why I did what I did.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you paid $5.99. I pay for the commercial free version, which I only started doing because there were clips on Paramount, right. Then CBS All Access. And I was tired of watching a 30-second to 1 minute commercial for a 30-second to 1 minute clip.
Right.
And the same commercial over and over again. Yes, I was like, fine, you win. I will pay more money. And now they don't even have those clips, but I still pay for no commercials. So
we're all just annoyed.
But anyway, yeah, wow, we have gone off on some heck of a tangent. The anti-Paramount Plus tangent here.
Sorry,
but
we'll move on. Yeah. Back to Tiffany.
So, yes. Well, and before we get to the rules, and Tiffany, we do have a few things to talk about from this episode. We can start with my predictions, which were absolutely not anywhere correct. Near the target.
We weren't
not
even anywhere. Close. We were
worse
than worse. Like, it was so bad.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a case like the previous couple weeks we had joked about that it was someone I had previously discussed. No, I absolutely thought Tiffany was safe all the way up to Jeff reading her name the third time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was not happy that she was the one that got voted out. But we were very convinced that all of the Yellow Tribe,
Tribe that is no more. Yes.
I know that they were all going to be fine. And then when Evie won immunity, I was like, here we go. This is exactly what David and I talked about. Something was going to happen. And so she wins immunity. I'm like, all right, there's going to be some great thing that's going to happen. Nope, we were wrong.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, I began predictions last week by saying things seemed pretty straightforward. And, you know, it looked like one of the Yase would go, but oh, no, we weren't going to fall for that.
Nope.
It had to be more complicated. So we had this whole narrative. I suggested it would be Nasir. For just a moment, I thought it would be. But no, the obvious actually is what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's sad.
Yeah. Now, I think that lack of food is messing with some people and may be part of everything that we've seen. First, because people I thought were smart are making moves that are perhaps not so smart.
Right.
And second, because it's causing arguments.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen
They're
and
hangry.
Discussed. Yes. Well, we've seen and discussed banana etiquette on a couple seasons. Mm-hmm. Most notably, you during the off season podcasts that we had when we covered, which season was that? It was fans
it was
versus
with,
favorites.
It was with. Oh, Lord.
Yes. Anyway, yes. With James. And
James.
And
yeah. James, yes. Like my favorite. And he was he was getting in trouble because he wasn't following banana etiquette.
Right. And you famously mailed me a banana.
Yes.
So we could discuss it. So I was going to ship you a papaya, but I couldn't find one and it wouldn't have gotten to you in time. So
we should talk about that for just a couple of minutes. The papaya.
Well, yeah,
incident.
Because now papaya etiquette. We have to have papaya etiquette.
Well, and here's from someone who played the game. I understand how frustrating it can be when you are watching other people in your tribe eat a delicious meal and you have no involvement. You're not allowed to.
Not just a delicious meal. Grilled cheese.
At least it's food. So, like, I can understand the idea of you don't then get to eat what the tribe is eating.
Mm-hmm.
But he took one small piece of papaya because he wanted to try it. He'd never had it before. And it's papaya that grew in Fiji. I'd be curious, too. Maybe he should have said, hey, do you mind if I try a little piece? Because I've never had papaya.
And they would have said, no.
I know. It's kind of, it was like, it was, that was a little bit much. It was definitely, well, I mean, a little bit much.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, well, I have multiple ways of thinking about this. First of all, Ricard said he'd never seen this before. We've definitely seen this before.
For
now,
sure.
Admittedly, he didn't rewatch a bunch of seasons just before going out there, probably. But even from memory, there have been some, and I mean, I know he didn't see the most recent season of Survivor, of South African Survivor, obviously, because he was out there recording. But it happened there, too. Now, to my mind, there are two sides here, the objective side and the subjective side.
Mm.
Under everyday real life situations, I almost go with the objective side, as anyone who follows my Twitter knows. In this case, what you said is the objective side. You know, Ricard himself said it. All the food that comes from the island is the tribe's food. Nasir decided to collect those papayas at that point in time, but he could have done it at any point in time. And those who won the reward shouldn't be restricted from it just because that was the moment in time he decided to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But from the subjective side, it's just a bad look to come over from having eaten a big meal for a reward and taking food from those who not only didn't get to eat this time, but mostly didn't eat last time either.
Yeah.
Logically, it doesn't matter. Emotionally, as Ricard found out in a hurry, it does matter.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why a, hey, do you mind, would have been a better approach. Because, hey, I've never had papaya before. Do you mind if I try a little bit? I know I just ate. I just want to try a little bit just so I can get the flavor of it. And maybe that would have avoided some of the wrath that he then.
I'm not sure it would have. I think he would have gotten a no.
Probably. But yeah, so there is papaya etiquette as well. And and also the point that you make about people being hungry and it affecting their choices and how they're actually playing the game, I 100% agree with that because that is something that you feel when you're out there. Now, granted, we had rice while I was out there. We weren't eating a whole heck of a lot, but we at least had rice and we had fish. But you are not getting the calorie intake that you really need in order to do all of the physical things that they're expecting you to do and make your brain function the way that you want it to function. And so it definitely slows down your ability to think quick on your feet. I mean, that's my job. I do that every single day. I have to think quick on my feet as a lawyer. But when you're out there, it's almost like your brain turns to mush and everything is and you start focusing on things that you shouldn't be focusing on. And you're getting distracted by things you shouldn't be getting distracted by because you're getting hung up on it and your brain is not working like this. And it's because you're just not getting as much food that you actually need to exist properly. So I feel for them. I really do.
Yeah. And then we get to come on here fully fed and rested and say, you did this wrong.
That's right. Right. Exactly. And we watch it from our couch while we're drinking wine and eating chips. It's fabulous.
Yeah. But, you know, they were eating grilled cheese and eating chips, so.
I know. There was some chips. I must say, I was impressed that they had chips. I don't think there was salt and vinegar, though.
Probably not.
That's what we had. I was ecstatic.
Oh,
we
man.
Had
they
chips
ordered
at our
those
big
just for you.
Feast. They were salt and vinegar. I was like, I think they did this on purpose.
Yeah, just for you.
They did. That's what I think.
Yeah. Now, continuing on the topic of food, the lack of any food sure has made it easier for Jeff to tempt people out of playing for immunity. He didn't need pizza or burgers or chocolate cookies.
Oh, that was he good. Just, have you
thank
been
you.
Practicing?
No, that was just off the cuff. He just needed uncooked rice.
A very small cup to start with.
Yes. So, you know, hey, it's a lot cheaper for the show that way too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. They don't have like the, what was it? The Outback Steakhouse, like restaurant set up. They just had rice in a bag.
Yeah, they just have instant pot, you know, not even here's the rice. Now looking at the four people who eventually sat out that of that challenge to get rice for the tribe, I have to say that, you know, for three of them, it was a bit of an eye roll. It's like, oh, you're stepping up to do something so wonderful for the tribe. You have idols. You're all safe.
Yeah.
You know, plus Shan in an amazing position in the game right now. And so is Ricard, even without an idol. Yeah. So, you know, and then Shan claimed at Tribal Council that it was her pastoral heart. Now, maybe it was. I don't know what's going on inside her head or her heart. But considering the other things she said in confessional about manipulating the way people think,
I know.
Even her own parishioners when it comes to a potluck.
That was a little aggressive. I was like, if I was one of her parishioners, I might be rethinking things right now.
Yes. Now, obviously, I don't know how, you know, her parish works, you know, but for a synagogue, the rabbi works for the synagogue, you know.
Not against.
So, yes, of course. Right. Well, I don't think it was against it. And, she was very clear to say,
I get what I want.
Right. Right. I mean, you know, if you're the one leading everything, you probably do feel that way. I know the rabbi that we had who recently retired, he often felt like he should get what he wanted all the time, but he didn't, you know, so
you make sacrifices.
Now all of this said, you know, I'm sure she was playing it up for the camera because that's what the camera people want you to do. But I think it was pure gameplay for probably all of them, which is fine. As long as the other players don't catch on, have at it. That's what you should be doing.
And here's the thing. And in that moment, if you know that you don't have to worry because you are in a good place and it's something that could potentially make you look good to your tribe mates, then why not? Then be like, hey, look, I'll be the big person. I'll step up and I'll do this so we can have some rice. So really, I can't fault them for doing exactly what was the right choice because it does make them look good, regardless of the fact that they've all got immunity or idols, I guess, and or they're in a really good position. They still are able to feed the tribe.
Right.
So I guess you just have to own it.
You know, I do think that most, if not all of the other players are smart and savvy enough to know it. You know, I don't think anyone's going to, if any of those four get to the end, I don't think anyone's going to be like, well, they sacrificed a challenge for rice, so I'm going to vote for them. You know,
or, all you need to do in that moment is say, hey, you know what? We need food. I'm going to get us food. I'm not expecting anything from this. I'm not expecting anyone to say, oh, but you gave us rice because you set out the challenge. No one's going to care. No one's going to care.
Yeah. Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. We're back. So let's get back to the show. So I have one more topic I want to discuss before we get to the rules. But before I launch into my rant, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, I want you to launch into a rant. Let's do this. Oh, getting ready.
So, this was the annoyance I felt at the end of Tribal Council at the way it was edited. I was even moved to do a TikTok on it. But I know there are a lot more people listening now than there were who saw that TikTok. A lot more. I just see no point in the way production showed us parts of Tribal Council with people running around and left it seeming like it was going to go a certain way when it was never going that way.
Yeah.
It's one thing to show us selected bits and pieces of strategic discussions before Tribal Council, so we're not sure what's going to happen. We're used to that. We understand that. But this was at Tribal Council. The vote was seconds away. Yet they made it seem like maybe the vote was going for Heather. And, you know, Deshaun and Shan were just at a bit of a standoff. Now, after rewatching it and thinking through it, it seems like what we missed, because, you know, the editors cut it off, was that after Shan went back to the main group to say, well, Deshaun didn't want to vote out Heather, there must have been a Keith Nail like stick to the plan decision. And they just reverted to what they were originally going to do.
Yeah,
now, that would have been the easiest thing since the plan was already there. Everybody knew what they were supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Shan essentially took credit or blame, however you want to see it, on Twitter when she said, yeah, I know people hate me, with the implication to me, at least, being that she was the decider.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what I think happened. But then why not show us?
Yeah.
Why not show that happening? Why leave us guessing and having to go back and rewatch? And, you know, I know they like to give us the surprise at the end.
Right.
But this was the end.
Right.
We've discussed it before. It's okay to tell us what's actually going on. We want to know mm-hmm. what's going on.
Yeah.
But they want to have that gotcha moment.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, I feel like that what was so frustrating watching that all unfold is that I'm thinking that there must have been key moments that the editors want to sprinkle in there that will suddenly matter later, because this is what happens, right? There'll mm-hmm. be some random conversation that you're like, why on earth did they even show this? Because it doesn't matter. And then four episodes later, it all comes back around and you're like, oh, well, that's why. And mm-hmm. I'm curious if this was one of those situations where maybe this whole craziness with Heather wanting to do whatever Heather wanted to do had nothing to do with Heather at all. But it had everything to do with Deshaun and Shan, because we saw throughout the episode they were butting heads, and we saw that Deshaun was getting more and more frustrated with Shan kind of taking over.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw him literally pouting during the actual tribal council. And I loved that moment when he was like, fine. And he sat down. He's like, whatever. And I loved it because it was so genuine, because he was so just himself in that moment. Mm-hmm. And then she had to respond. So I'm curious if that was what that was all about, was that it wasn't necessarily about the vote. It wasn't necessarily about Heather. It was more about that particular relationship and what's going to come of it down the road. Because that moment was a very genuine, honest moment that we saw from Deshaun. And I really appreciate that he presented it the way that he did, that he was like, fine, fine, whatever, yeah. fine. I thought it was great.
Yeah. And that's why on Twitter, immediately there were people saying, no, the whole thing was a show. They were always doing it. The whole thing was a show. And mm-hmm. I was like, they're not good enough actors for that.
No.
And that Deshaun and Shan, try to say that five times fast and you just get it all mixed up like I did. That was a real moment.
Yeah.
So even before Tiffany's interviews the next morning, I was on Twitter going, no, that was not an acting job.
No,
that was
nope.
all real.
Nope.
And then Tiffany came out and was like, no, that was not acting.
Yeah. Tiffany's so great.
So, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's like I said, they keep wanting the gotcha moment. But also, like you said, you know, they plant something in one spot and then four episodes later it comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's why we take notes throughout the season and go back. I mean, when we do the podcast here, we go back to stuff that happened way back.
Right.
And it was why during the Wiggle Through Time, you know, people would ask, why are you watching the whole season up to the point where it was where the person was voted out instead mm-hmm. of just watching that episode? Well, because the reason a person gets voted out might happen multiple episodes back.
Right, exactly. And this is why I think that this becomes a significant episode mm-hmm. in regards to that relationship.
Right. And so, I mean, with all that said, I guess, you know, with them keeping things secret and planting things, I guess it's a job security for a podcast that explains why each player
sure.
lost.
I'll take it.
So, but the result was we were left with another supposedly live tribal where nothing ended up changing,
no.
at least not for now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that part of the episode after the immunity challenge began with Liana saying she wanted to flush Xander's idol and vote out Tiffany, and ended with an attempt to flush Xander's idol and successfully voting out Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in the middle was sound and fury signifying nothing, though.
Right.
It may signify something for Heather later. We'll have
right.
to see.
And we should also mention Ricard and his failed attempt to get Xander to play his idol, because that was really terrible. I love you, Ricard, but come on. Like, you better just play it. You better play your idol. You should definitely
yeah.
play your idol.
Yeah.
Play your idol. Like,
yeah, Xander's looking at him like, okay, dude.
I mean, he tried. He definitely
yeah.
tried.
Yeah. So, now Deshaun, we already talked about Deshaun a little bit, but he also voiced a big part of the problem with waiting until tribal council to enact your plan. He wasn't willing to go along with Heather's switch because he didn't have time to think it through.
Right.
You know, and similarly, he was opposed to Shan and company turning everything against Heather.
Yeah.
You know, he came in with a plan. He came in with a setup and all of these things were happening. And he was like, whoa, everybody, just slow your roll.
Yeah. And, you know, because I do think that what we saw a lot through this episode was knee-jerk reactions to things that were being said. So this conversation is happening between Shan and Nasir. And Shan tells Nasir that he's like the backup name, but he's not the real name. And he's like, no, that's not good. So, okay, then it's Heather. And then so like it changed to Heather. Right. And there was just a whole lot of like knee-jerk reactions instead of people just kind of really formulating a solid like idea and plan, which then I think leads to people being confused and paranoid and running around and whispering at tribal council.
Yeah, well, I think it was funny because I think even word made its way to Xander that Heather was the backup and he said something to Ricard. Ricard's like, wait, Heather? What?
Right. And this is why you potentially could hurt yourself at tribal council because there's too many backup plans that got changed and there's too many potential people who were on the block. And so it really could confuse people, especially if they're not well fed and they're not thinking straight. You're certainly not going to help. You're not going to help yourself or anyone else if you don't have a set plan in place.
Yeah, you can't expect someone to make a big move against an ally like that in the space of a few seconds.
Right.
You know, last week we said there should have been a plan B and even a plan C in case Liana's plan A didn't work, which it didn't last week.
Right.
And we criticized them for not having the backup you were just talking about. It is pretty funny because Shannon Gus's guest, George, from the most recent season of Australian Survivor, said almost the exact same thing like I was listening after we recorded. And I'm like, oh, who else talked about a plan B and a plan C? That's funny. But, you know, in this case, it seems like Heather purposely waited till the last minute and even beyond the last minute, like we kind of made fun of at the beginning to start whispering and bring up the change. Like she was just waiting, you know, like she was waiting to pounce. Like as soon as Jeff said something, he's like, okay.
Right.
And then Jeff's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, oh, is it whispering time yet?
I know.
You know, it was a pre-planned live tribal council.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I guess it could be an okay idea if you're fairly certain you're the target and you need to stir everything up to survive. Mm-hmm. But that's not what happened here. And I'm sorry, Heather, it was a terrible idea.
But we got such great Heather content.
We did. Well, any Heather content. Yes. Now, one more thing. Actually, you already brought this up. I just had it in my notes here about Heather telling Tiffany she would save her. And, you know, I mentioned on Twitter that obviously if Heather says to just sit still and let her save you, everything will be okay. Tiffany replied to that on Twitter. No. And I said, I don't see why you wouldn't just put your whole game life in Heather's hands. And Tiffany responded that she thought maybe the crabs had better odds. So maybe we saw why.
Craziness. Good stuff. Good stuff.
So now with all that tribal council discussion talk behind us, we're almost ready to move on to the results. We're almost a half hour in. Almost. Because, of course, first we have to talk about where you can see the rules.
That's right. You can read along while we're talking about them.
That's right. So you can go to robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed. You can scroll down. You can subscribe, of course. You can find the rules. And then you can find the shorter and much more colorful version of the rules in poster form.
That's right. Ta-da!
So you just click on it right there. In addition to the poster, we also have other ways to get the rules. So you can always have them with you in case, like, you're not eating and you need to remember the rules. If you're wearing it on a shirt, you could just look down and go, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. Oh, man. So there's the T-shirt. There's the checklist T-shirt. I'm wearing one of the hooded sweatshirts because it's starting to get cooler out now. So what you could do is you could get a checklist T-shirt and wear it under the poster sweatshirt. And that way, no matter if you're indoors or outdoors, you have the rules.
You will always know the rules.
And then, of course, you have the mug.
Yeah, it's on everything.
So, again, go to robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed. And, you know, just take a look. And in case you forgot a couple weeks ago, I also mentioned the Honesty, Loyalty, Integrity shirt.
Get on it. Holidays are coming. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Now, few minutes ago, I mentioned that the plan going into tribal council seemed to be to vote out Tiffany. And even after the craziness sparked by Heather, that was the final plan as well. The question we need to answer is why that was the case. Tiffany was on the bottom and couldn't seem to climb out. There are usually cracks someone can dig their way into, but nothing opened up for her. She said after being voted out that it didn't make sense to get rid of her instead of someone with an idol or who was otherwise in a more threatening position. Maybe she's right. They were wrong to vote her out. That's one thing we'll address as we figure out why Tiffany lost. The first and most important rule talks about the need to scheme and plot. And Tiffany clearly knew how important this was and said in interviews that she and Evie were a ride or die duo. Always good to have someone like that. Through her relationship with Evie, she was able to make some moves and maintain her safety early on. She knew Evie was making lots of final two deals, but she also felt like hers was the real one. She told Mike Bloom, "I was very well aware that she had Xander in her pocket. She had Liana in her pocket. She had me in her pocket. But I was like, go ahead and play because I can just sit back while you play. We were in lockstep together. We were strategizing together. Every time I thought of something, she thought of it at the same time. It was the perfect marriage of strategy." Now, maybe I should have said that in a New York accent.
Yeah, no, I think that initially when we were presented with Tiffany, the way that she was being presented didn't show her being as strategic as she actually was being. And I think that the more the game progressed, the more strategic we actually really were able to appreciate, you know, her game for, because I think editing really was doing her a bit of a disservice at the beginning. But again, we see that a lot when you have one person that's kind of controlling most of what's transpiring and someone else is sitting back. But I think that it was working for Tiffany, and Tiffany was owning it and knew it and was making a conscious decision to play the game that way because it was a benefit to her. So, right. I, you know, I certainly can't fault her for that. And also part of their strategy was keeping the women together because then that gave them the numbers moving forward. And so, you know, that was part of their strategy as well. So I do think that she certainly was thinking through and also thinking long term as far as the game was considered. Unfortunately, other people weren't thinking in the same fashion. You know, turned on her rather quickly. But I do think for the most part that she certainly came into the game having an idea. And I think it's worth noting, too, she had like 24 hours notice that she was going to be on the season. And I do think that that can actually help people when they're playing this game, because you don't have time to overthink how you're going to play the game, because you've got like 24 hours to like take care of your whole life before you're gone for, oh, I don't even know how many weeks they were gone this time because of all of the extra.
She said recently, I saw on social media somewhere, like, I don't know, I think it was 2 weeks in quarantine.
Okay.
So she had plenty of time to think there because that was all she had to do.
And that's true. That is true.
Think and eat.
Think and eat. But, that is very true. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I will have a couple more things to say about her edit in that one spot you're thinking of. But, you know, for now, you know, or for now, for early on, you know, she clearly went along with Evie. And in an early scene that we've mentioned previously, Evie supported Tiffany's loyalty, saying that Tiffany viewed them as her babies. And, you know, we finally get to see that full picture of what happened to switch that second vote from Xander to Voce. Because we've been thinking about it, you know, and this is where, as you were saying, you know, she was not given the greatest of edit. You know, she told Rob she wanted to go that way, not because she was some emotional mess like the show portrayed it, but because Voce was a brain surgeon and smart and strategic. Xander was young and controllable and physically strong and had no vote. So, you know, expanding on the controllable part, she added to Gordon Holmes that she knew she had Evie. Evie had everyone. So that meant she had Xander by, you know, the transitive property.
Yeah, no, I love that she was working all the way through all of the options and wasn't so desirous of being like lockstep into one idea. She was working them through, again, long term to see how is this going to benefit us down the road. And I love that she had Evie and that she and Evie were so close. And you kind of saw it but you didn't at the same time. Like, I would have never, just watching the season, described them as ride or die because they were working together. But I didn't get the impression that they were that close. And so, you know, I think that that's interesting that that's the way she's describing their relationship. And so they did a great job minimizing that as well.
Or production did, much the same way they erased your relationship with Adam.
That's fair. That is a very fair point. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now moving to the merge, we saw, of course, the whole situation with, you know, Liana trying to steal Xander's idol, but he had given it to Tiffany. Now, this is another case where she was not given the credit on TV.
Right.
You know, she told Rob that she and Evie were the ones who came up with the plan based on the knowledge that she got from Shan accidentally giving her the information. Then they told Xander, who contributed the fake idol, but it was, the idea came from Tiffany and Evie.
Right. Yeah. And I feel bad that she didn't get credit for that because
I
know that was clearly frustrating.
Yes. And I have some thoughts about that later, but, you know, that's just one example. As Tiffany said in interviews, that she and Evie came up with all sorts of strategic stuff to do, but at the merge, they couldn't get their footing.
Yeah.
As she said in this episode, I'm going to use whoever, whatever, whenever to get what I want in this game. And that thought process was exactly right. The process was, or the problem was, nobody would work with her at that point, and they would barely even talk to her.
I know, hence the ignore me.
Yes, ignore me.
Wanted to be ignored.
Yeah. Well, we even saw Tiffany ask the crabs to vote with her. But by the way, don't, you know, we solve mysteries on this podcast. And I have solved the mystery of why the crabs did not come to her rescue.
Because she was trying to eat them?
Yes. She said in interviews that she was the crab hunter.
Yeah. So they were like, we're not going to help her out. We want her gone.
She ate our family. Yeah. I'm not helping you.
Yeah. She got Sam.
I mean, it was, you know, it was a good idea, Tiffany, but you can't eat someone's family and then expect them to help.
Right.
I mean, that's another rule we're going to have to put on that poster, I guess.
Don't rely on the crabs when that's your form of food.
Yes. With all that said, including the crabs, we can move into the second rule, which says not to scheme and plot too much and to keep your scheming secret. Now, from my perspective, and maybe you'll have a different perspective, I don't think Tiffany did anything wrong here. But two other people who had been her allies did, and it ended up reflecting back on her.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the first was Liana. Mm-hmm. Tiffany revealed in interviews that the plan was for Liana to go to Risk Your Vote Island and give Shan the advantage.
Right.
So Uwa would be on their side come merge. So you'd have, you know, 5 against 6 and hopefully pull someone over from Love You. But that's not what Liana did. Instead, she told Shan all about how close the Ase were and took the advantage for herself.
Right.
Now, I had previously on the last podcast said Shan messed up by revealing the information in front of Tiffany. But now it seems like Liana was really the one who made the mistake because she told Shan they were super close and she didn't tell Shan, but don't tell her about the advantage.
Right.
So
exactly.
Shan made an assumption, but Liana was the one who should have stopped her. Now, we also last week noted that Liana probably could have dug her way out of that by just saying, oh, yeah, it was an extra vote. You know, passing on it.
Right. Right.
Tiffany found out about that advantage because Liana didn't keep her scheming secret.
Right.
But then as Tiffany said in interviews and we saw on the show, Liana got mad at Tiffany for finding out. It's completely irrational, but it's also human nature.
Right.
Basically, Liana was mad at herself, but you have to have someone to blame. So it reflects on Tiffany.
Right. Exactly. And I do think that you kind of need that person who's going to be the one that can be blamed for certain components of how you ended up where you're at. Right. Because Liana is turning her back on people that she has played this game with and that she has formed a relationship with that she's become close to. Right. And now all of a sudden she is shifting gears and she's moving towards these individuals and she doesn't want to be perceived as turning her back on people and kind of cutting ties and moving. And she wants to be perceived as doing the right thing. And so you need to try to find reasons as to why I can't play with these people or don't want to play with these people. And so those individuals become what you blame for all of the horrificness that has now become your game, or any of the issues that you're having, or any of the problems that you're having. You need to have a scapegoat. You need to have someone that you can point to. And that's exactly what I think we saw Liana doing, is trying to make amends for what she was doing and trying to make it appear as if it's okay that she's turned her back on Yase, and utilizing various reasons to do it. And so then you get angry at people for things that you've actually done because it makes you feel better about the choice that you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this was your intent, but it sounds like you're speaking from experience, because I remember a certain point in your season where all the women came together to get rid of a guy. Mm-hmm. And then two of the women went back and said, oh, it's all her.
Yeah,
it's all Jessica.
I got blamed for the whole damn thing.
And I'm like, as a viewer at the time, I'm like, wait a minute. They all joined together. Why is Jessica getting blamed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, sometimes, I mean, and even in real life, sometimes you get mad at yourself, but, you know, you got to take it out on someone else.
Right. Yeah. And that's the one thing that I don't think we see enough survivors doing, is kind of owning mm-hmm. things that they've done. And I do appreciate we saw some of those moments in this episode where there were conversations where people were like, hey, this is how I feel. And I don't think we see that very much on Survivor, because that's not the way that Survivor is structured.
Right.
You know, Survivor is structured in a very, it's contentious. I mean, it's a game for $1 million, for God's sake. So people are certainly going to be combative and trying to go against each other. And so to see those moments where people try to work through a problem, I think is really nice, because mm-hmm. it's not something we see very often. But I do think for Liana, she didn't try to do any of that. It was, I'm making a decision to go play with these people, and that's it. And mm-hmm. whatever reason I can utilize to provide to them as to why I did it, I'm going to. And then I'm going to be, you know, blaming them for things that I probably shouldn't blame them for. But in her mind, it all makes sense, because this is now how she wants to play the game. So she needs to have a reason or a basis for her doing what she's doing.
Right. Now, the second situation was in this episode when Xander flipped for what Tiffany saw as no good reason after she had been super loyal to him.
Hmm.
In that case, it was Evie who spilled secrets weeks ago, and Xander found out in tribal council when Deshaun told all.
Mm-hmm.
Evie tried to convince Xander that it wasn't really a secret because everyone knew he had the idol, but Xander was having none of that, you
right.
know? And I have to say, he was right in terms of the trustworthiness of what she, you know, what was done. When Evie originally told Deshaun, nobody else knew about it. So Evie was trying to rationalize it away according mm-hmm. to what everyone later found out, and
right.
Xander wasn't buying it.
Right.
It's like, no. Yeah, but here's the other thing. It happened so long ago, and so much had changed since then, that he really did need to put it behind him. You know, instead, he put his former allies behind him. And Xander seemingly included Tiffany in the blame, even though she had nothing to do with it.
Right.
So Tiffany got caught in the crossfire while Xander did everything he could to distance himself from the other two.
Well, and it's possible because, as we talked about earlier, that Tiffany and Evie were much closer than it appears on screen. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it really was an editing thing, and maybe Xander was completely aware of how close they both were. And so Tiffany is guilty by association, because he sees how close they are, and he knows he's the third man out. Like, he's the third wheel. So mm-hmm. perhaps he feels better about being, what would he be, the seventh wheel if he goes to the other side as opposed
right.
to the third wheel. But yeah, I do think that it was guilt by association there as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we should close out the second rule by noting that I did in our Why Blank Lost podcast, when nobody actually lost, and we went through and listed who was doing the best, was I had listed Tiffany as my top pick for the second rule.
And I believe I said that first, and then you were like, oh, are you reading off of my notes? So Jessica,
I don't remember that. You have to give yourself your own credit. I can only give myself credit.
Well,
you know,
I know, but you like to spend a lot of time bringing us all back to things that happened where you're like, oh, by the way,
well,
I was right about
I mean,
this.
I have my notes. I don't have your notes. You know, I don't sit here and like take notes on what Jessica said. So you're just going to have to.
You can go back and watch it. It's all recorded.
Yeah. I mean, you wear a shirt saying ignore you. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I did say then was I was a little worried because Tiffany was in the mom position, and anyone in that position who schemes and plots at all can be considered to be scheming and plotting too much if they make it to the end. Unfortunately for Tiffany, she didn't have to worry about that.
I know. Sad.
So, yeah. All right. Well, the third rule tells players to be flexible. And let me just say, Jewish moms are well known for being flexible. For example, mine would always say, I could do whatever I wanted. Of course, she would then follow up by talking about how severely disappointed she would be if I did anything other than what she wanted me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you feel like Tiffany broke away from that cliche for this rule?
I'm just imagining your mother like saying these things to you.
Yes.
That's amazing. I think she wanted to. I really think that she was desirous of being flexible, but unfortunately really did find herself in a position where she was limited. I mean, she even said, we wanted to do things. Like, we had all these ideas and we had these strategies, but we couldn't get our footing. So she was willing to work with the crabs and the crew for God's sake. So, I mean, I think if anyone wanted to be flexible, I think she really, truly wanted to be, but she just found herself in such a difficult position in order to make anything happen.
Yeah, I agree. She ran up against a brick wall, including some people in opposition to flexibility, like Deshaun.
Yeah.
He was mad that the Yase voted for him and said he'd never work with them. But, of course, he was in a much different position than she was and could afford to do that, at least for now. It's easy from the majority position to be like, no, I don't want to work with you.
Right.
She's like, please. Now, going back earlier in the season, what we were shown leading up to the Voce vote made Tiffany look like a crazy woman who had her mind set a certain way and refused to budge. But we've already discussed how she had good reasons for voting him out. Even though, Tiffany, I'll never forgive you for sending home the super fan of this podcast and my winner pick.
I know. That is true.
All right. So now, another interesting thing that came out of her interviews was that she wanted Liana out early. But Evie wanted the three of them to stick together, so Tiffany agreed. Now, it turns out in that case, she should have set her mind a certain way and refused to budge, but she was going along with her tightest ally. Hindsight is 20/20.
Oh, for sure.
And she was flexible in that case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. All right. Well, the fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control them. Now, I can't think of any situations where her emotions played a role in her gameplay. We just discussed the Voce vote, and it's appropriate to bring up again, 30 seconds later, because Voce said in his interviews that he and Tiffany were like island husband and wife, and we even got to hear about them going to the bathroom together.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, how could you forget? It burned
because
in.
I wanted to.
Yes. Now, Tiffany said something similar about how close they were in her interviews, and yet she had no qualms about cutting him in that vote. It wasn't like she was just going along with an ally, like I said, with Evie wanting to keep Liana. She was the one flipping the vote specifically to cut someone she was close to.
Right.
So obviously no problems with emotions interfering.
Yeah, no, I think if anything, she was wanting to play cutthroat. I think it goes back to her desire to want it to be flexible and was finding herself in a difficult spot. So I don't think that she had any qualms about doing anything. She was going to be a certain way to people, but she was also like, I'm playing a game, so I will cut you. I do think that she, I appreciate her so much because
she's from New York.
From New York. And so she's very kind of just powerful, but she doesn't present it in a way that is harsh or demeaning. I mean, she's like, it's like she understands this is Survivor and this is what you do. I'm going to form relationships with people, but I'm also going to vote you out when I need to, if it makes sense for my game. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And in fact, that takes us to the fifth rule, which is all about the social game. It reminds players they need to pretend to be nice. Once again, Tiffany knew all about this and even said early on, Survivor is not just about challenges. It's a social game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she forgot strategic in her description, but I'll let it slide this time. Next time you're on Survivor, Tiffany, you gotta, you know, get that into the quote also. I mean, it seems like Tiffany made friends easily and quickly, from Voce to Evie to Sydney to who knows who else. She seemed to have a knack for it. Liana said in episode 6 that Tiffany was friendly and everyone wanted to be around her.
Right.
You know, seeing her on social media, it's no surprise, because it's very similar to what she's like in real life, or at least as close to real life as social media gets.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she has a very loud personality, and she's willing to put herself out there. She's funny and she's enjoyable. And I think we did get to see a lot of that, even though the editing has been a little bit weird this season.
Choppy for her. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we're not seeing as much of the interactions at camp that we would like to see. But I do think that we did see some really great moments of her. And I think from those moments, we were able to determine that she really was bonding with these people that she was playing the game with. And now in her exit press, she's talking about how close she still is with these mm-hmm. people. And I think yeah. that speaks volumes, that she's able to play this game, but she's also a genuinely well-liked person, and that they still like each other despite the fact that they were playing the Survivor game together. I think that's yeah. incredible for her.
Yeah, and we got to see more of her true personality come out in her Ponderosa video as well.
Oh, my God. I loved her Ponderosa. And mm-hmm. I will say, I'm working on a little something, because watching her Ponderosa reminded me about my Ponderosa. So I'm trying to put together a little something there, you know.
Oh, okay, so, cool. Mm-hmm. We will yeah. keep our eyes out for that.
But yeah, she had a great Ponderosa.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. All right. Now, the sixth rule warns against being too much of a threat. Clearly, I think the other players found Tiffany to be a physical threat because they were worried about future balance beam challenges.
Is that what it was?
Yes. Yes. That's obviously the answer. That's, okay.
No,
it's not. No.
No.
No. So in the prior rule, I mentioned that what Liana said about how friendly Tiffany was. The rest of that statement, which I withheld till now, was about how that indicated to Liana that Tiffany was playing hard and it made her a threat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Tiffany herself echoed that in her ET Canada interview and probably other ones, saying she was a threat socially.
Yeah. I don't disagree at all. I mean, we've talked about this on multiple podcasts, where if you are looking at the three people who are in the final tribal council, and if anyone's games are somewhat similar, they both mm-hmm. kind of made the same decisions and made the same moves, what are you then going to base it upon? You're going to base it upon who you like more. And that's something that not enough people pay attention to when they play the game. And you don't realize that likability is a huge component of your game. And if people feel a closeness to you and are still desirous of being friends with you after the season is over, I think that that right there speaks volumes of how well she would have done sitting in a final three. If it would have come down to, who do I choose? I'm going to pick Tiffany because I just like her. She's just right. enjoyable. She's a nice person. Yeah.
Right. Now, with that said, I do think she was a social threat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think... Well, we know that wasn't the type of threat we usually see targeted around now. As she told Rob, she was confused because she wasn't a threat like some of the others, going on to say that in a normal Survivor game with people who aren't short-sighted and stupid, they should have at least flushed an idol. And she's right.
Yeah.
You know, it is odd that there were so many other threats in the game at this point, and yet she was the one who was sent packing. It's a topic best dealt with in Appendix A, so I'll stop myself on this point until then.
You don't want to jump ahead.
No, but I don't want to get yelled at. But the thing is, was she a threat socially? Yes. Do I think that came into specific play now? No. Maybe in a few votes it would have, but I don't mm-hmm. think it was the main reason for right now.
All right. I understand.
Okay. So then we can move to the seventh rule, which covers idols and advantages, including how to handle and deal with them. Tiffany didn't have any of these herself, but, you know, the one she had to deal with, that, I mean, she had the vote, choose your vote, you know, the go out to,
Secret
you know, go
Island.
On the boat. Yeah, go yeah. on the boat.
The what, one was that it? Was like voter, dropped voter by boat. The fire wherever
yeah.
it was.
Right, voter boat. That's what I called it. But, you know, any that had significant game impact, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the biggest impact was Liana's knowledge is power advantage. Right. And as we already discussed, she got the information from Jen and Liana and then put together a counter plan with Evie and then brought in Xander that worked to nullify it and throw that tribal council into complete upheaval.
And that's amazing. And I'm sad that we didn't give her credit as much as she deserves, because that right there is something we actually discussed. In a game with too many advantages and terrible advantages, like the one that Liana had, it was awesome to see a player work through the advantage in that way to like crumble it and just take it apart, like take all of its power away. Oh, it was so beautiful. So I am sad that I didn't give her credit like she deserved. I'm glad that she's now able to talk about it and be like, yeah, that was me. We did that. And Xander went along with it. It was our idea. So great move on her part. It was absolutely just incredible. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now going back to the first episode, we saw that she was so close to finding the beware advantage that Xander ended up getting. Now, looking back, I was wondering if she wished she'd looked a little harder, or she was happy to not have to deal with repeating a line about butterflies and dead relatives and being without a vote. That came up on social media shortly before we started recording, and she said she was happy not to have found it, but then I referenced what she'd said about people with idols not being targeted, and she reconsidered. You know, she was like, oh, I wouldn't want that target, and it's like, yeah, but the people with idols aren't being targeted. She's like, But in the end, given what her situation would have been at Yase at the time, she circled, you know, back around to being happy she wasn't the one who found it, because who knows if you even make it to the merge if you're in that situation instead of Xander being that in that situation.
Right. And I do know that she's made some commentary just regarding the season of Survivor and the amount of idols and advantages that exist, and that a lot of it has boiled down to luck as well. And this is something that we've talked about, how much of Survivor is based upon luck. I think this season is more than most.
Yeah, but one thing that I noticed she was talking about was not specifically that, but like the rock draws to determine your teams.
Oh, and that, yeah, that could be part of it as well. Yeah.
That, you know, the way bad luck happened to almost make those teams identical and put her on the losing side twice, so you couldn't interact as much with everyone else.
Right.
You know, I felt that was more the type of luck she was talking about. And yeah, that, unfortunately, well, I don't have to tell you about rock draws and luck.
No, we don't need to talk about
we probably
rocks
should
out of
just
bags.
Move along on that one. Yeah. So anyway, going back to that idol, you know, since she didn't find it, she had to deal with Xander doing so. And I think she handled that situation well, taking it into account, deciding who to vote out, using the information Evie passed along, and eventually being told by Xander, and pretending not to have known, but then asking him pointed questions about his lies while making faces behind his back.
Right.
I mean, okay, the making faces part doesn't really have anything to do with the rule, but it was funny.
It was awesome. I do think it was interesting, too, that when she actually had the idol in her possession, that she was still relying upon Xander as to whether or not she should play it. Because it was like, at that moment, there was this, you know, should I play it for Evie? Should I not play it for Evie? Mm-hmm. And she was relying very heavily on him, which I think is fascinating, because it's like she still understood that that was his and that she was going to be giving everything back to him. But I just thought it was impressive that she didn't just decide, like, you know what, I'm going to do what I want and I'm going to play this, because then I think you create tension with the people that you need to be playing the game with. And at that point in time, I think she thought she had Xander. And that they were going to be solid. And so I have to respect her for respecting him in that moment and not just taking it and trying to play it herself.
Yeah. And that's one thing she was upset about, obviously, was here she was working so tightly with him, giving it back to him, doing what he wanted. Right. And then boom, he turns his back on her and they are no more.
Yeah.
So now one other thing we should mention is Tiffany's shot in the dark, which she didn't use. I think it's funny because you try to analyze, like, why didn't she use it? Da, da, da. And then she admitted in interviews that she's like, yeah, I forgot about it. You know, now in everything else that was going on. But she did say even if she remembered, she wouldn't have used it because she didn't want to be Sydney and vote herself out, because she worried that the vote could be close after all the craziness that happened.
Right.
All right. So now we can get to Appendix A. And I suspect we're going to have a longer discussion here than we normally do in Appendix A, because it's about the tribe making the right decision, keeping their end goals in mind. We talk about voting out the weak and the strong and the weak and the strong. And normally at the merge, you want to vote out strong players. And we already hinted in the sixth rule that, well, the tribe didn't exactly seem to do that here. Usually around this point, players would be targeting people who have a lot going for them. Challenge strength, idols, etc. But that wasn't the case. They didn't target Danny the athlete or Xander with his idol and advantage or Shan with her idol and advantage or Nasir with his idol. They're picking off those they deem as easy targets instead of making the more difficult decisions. Tiffany suggested that they're playing scared, and to at least some extent, she's right.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't make it the incorrect decision for at least some of them. You know, this appendix even notes that votes at the merge could be, quote, someone who is more of an easier consensus pick to kind of ease into the merge. In many ways, it's like the very first vote of the season when people are just happy if it's not them.
Right.
Now, in theory, that should have been the prior vote, you know, when it was Sydney. But according to Jeff, that wasn't officially the merge vote. So this was, you know, but even in this case, the appendix goes on to say the overall point still stands that it is around this time that players should be voting out the strong.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's interesting that the decisions, as we've discussed a little bit, seem to be coming from Shan. And that she's the one that's kind of pushing her narrative forward and how she wants to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also someone that has an idol and an extra vote. And so it would behoove her to not be targeting people that have idols or extra votes, because she's like, that's me. I don't want people to look at me. So let's look past those people and let's not try to flush idols. Because right now, too, the argument could be, well, we know where they all are, right? And if we flush an idol and someone plays it, then it gets put back in circulation. And God knows if it's another, I don't know, weird phrase that you have to say to turn it on. Who knows? But right now, it's kind of like everyone knows who has everything and we know exactly where it all is. And so it is a very safe place to be, because you're like, OK, we know they've got it. They've got it. They've got it. And I've got it. OK, everyone's on the board and we don't need to worry about it because we all know where they're going to fall. And you can kind of guess a little bit who could potentially play an idol for somebody else. So it truly is a very safe way to play the game. And I do think that part of the reason we're seeing that is because of Shan, and she doesn't want people looking at her with all of the things that she has in her bag.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And actually something I had not really thought about, but it's like when, you know, we'll see in certain cases where someone's like, okay, they'll come to some small woman on the tribe and be like, well, we want to vote out this slightly smaller woman because we're getting rid of the weak challenge competitors.
Right.
And that small woman is like, well, wait a minute. If we vote her out, then what happens?
Right. I'm next.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this does not seem like a very good plan for me, you know? And yeah, Shan could absolutely be thinking the same thing. Like, I don't want them flushing, you know, Nasir's idol, because then they're going to be like, hey, let's flush all the idols.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, speaking of Nasir, you know, he was unhappy. You mentioned it earlier that his name was even raised as a decoy. And then we saw Heather so upset that she almost got herself voted out. You know, I mean, I think people are worried that idols will cause votes to go in the wrong direction. And that's another reason that they don't necessarily want to target them, because, OK, what happens if that person plays an idol and we split the vote, but somehow they get one of the other votes and it goes there and then it comes to me and then, you know, but the problem is they still haven't done anything to actually flush them.
Right.
Their intent was to get Xander to use his, as both Liana and Shan said in this episode. And yes, Ricard, we talked about, implored him twice to play his idol.
He tried. But,
you know, there was never any actual threat to Xander, and he easily sniffed that out. If you want someone, if you want to flush an idol, you have to make them feel like they're in danger.
Float
their name around. And Xander clearly felt safe. So, and the same is true of Nasir. If they want to get idols out and they want to get those with idols out, they need to act right away or those idols will come into play and someone in the main group is just going to get popped by one.
Right. And that's what's going to end up happening, because all you're doing is dwindling your numbers and you're taking away those people who could help you in that regard. Mm-hmm. Because once it gets down to it and you have your core group of maybe it's five at that point, and then it's like, well, who's got idols and who has advantages from that particular group? And if Xander is someone who still has an idol when it's starting to dwindle, well, guess what? He's going to play his idol and then he's going to take out somebody from your majority group because he's got the idol. And so you become less in control of the game and mm-hmm. who ends up going home, because you're not able to tell Xander what to do at that point, because Xander realizes where he falls in this structure. And so once he realizes that, he's going to save himself. And so mm-hmm. I do think that it was a huge missed opportunity to try to take care of something now that I don't think they're going to be able to take care of later, because there's, what, three idols right now?
Yeah. I mean,
that's an insane amount of idols to have. And the issue, I think, too, with the idols that I find incredibly fascinating is you have someone who's a complete outlier with one. You have someone who is like, they're willing to play with, but mm-hmm. not in the solid core four. And then the other one is in the solid core four. And so they all find themselves in these places. It's not like the solid core four all hasn't, like three of those four have an idol. So they can just kind of be like, whatever, we're all good. We've all got idols. They are being controlled by people who are not playing the same game as that solid core four. And so all you're doing is damaging the ability for that four to move forward.
Yeah. And it limits your number of who, like you said. And in this particular vote, it seems like the options were limited because nobody wanted to be the first to make a bigger move.
Mm-hmm.
And I've looked at this a couple ways. One, we know Danny and maybe Deshaun had previously wanted a woman out. Now, they got Sydney out, but they may still want more women out. Since they're aligned with Shan and Liana, that cuts out two possibilities. Mm-hmm. Right now, also aligned with Erica. There's another one. That brings it to Evie, Tiffany, and Heather. Well, Evie seemed to be the original target until the immunity challenge, so that knocked out another one. And then it's clear Deshaun was protecting Heather. Now, as a side note, I feel like Heather is one of Deshaun's like side allies, like mm-hmm. is in the cookout on Big Brother. And it actually caused an argument, not unlike one that we saw on Big Brother as the cookout neared Final Six, when Xavier and the Tiffany on that show each wanted to keep their own side person around a bit longer. So anyway, that's a side note. But the point is, when you knock that all down, who's left? Tiffany.
Right.
That's
it. Yeah. She was the collateral damage.
Yeah. And then, you know, as I mentioned, they could have and probably should have gone after Xander instead, and maybe even Nasir, but they just don't seem to want to do that yet, or they're afraid to. And it didn't help that, as Tiffany told Rob, Heather jumping up at the end of tribal council got everyone super confused mm-hmm. and they all wanted to save themselves.
Right.
And once Shan and Deshaun had their run in and Deshaun, in Tiffany's word, threw a fit, that was pretty much it. As we discussed a lot of that before we even got to the rules.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's just one of those situations where there is so many people, and obviously everyone has their own game plan and they have their mm-hmm. own idea of how they want the game to carry out.
Right.
But that's why idols become so scary. And that's why these extra votes become so scary, because not only does Xander have an idol, he has an extra vote too.
Mm-hmm.
So he's walking around like two people, and, you know, two people with protection. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he is the most threatening person as far as that group is concerned. And they, for whatever reason, are like, you know, they're just looking past it. But who else has the same exact thing? Shan.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, we can move on to Appendix B, which we haven't done yet, obviously, because it talks about the jury phase of the game. While most of the discussion we usually have in Appendix B comes up after the finale, sometimes there are points to mention here. And I think one of those times is now, because Tiffany specifically mentioned in her interviews how it wasn't a smart move for someone like Xander to turn on her and completely shut her out when she's about to head to the jury. You know, the mm-hmm. idea is to seed the jury with as many people who will vote for you as possible, not to piss people off just before they go. I mean, I know he probably was doing it because he thought it was his best way to avoid going to the jury himself. But you always need to be thinking not just about making it to the end, but also about winning once you get there.
Yeah. And I do think that there was a real opportunity that was missed by Xander in this moment, because you have, if Xander is willing to not turn his back on Tiffany and Evie, which mm-hmm. I don't think he should have, because where's he going to go? If he goes to the big group, he's going to be at the bottom, right? We already talked about that.
I mean, so, I think, I do think, sorry, I do think his idea is that there are little factions and he's trying to get in with a little faction.
Sure.
I don't think it'll work, but I right. think that's his idea.
And if that's his idea, that's fine if that's mm-hmm. his idea. But again, you have to be thinking long term. And where is that going to get you? And if you are sitting with two people who you know will vote with you, and you also have an extra vote, that gives you four.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you need? You need to find the other outliers, right? And the other right. people that are not necessarily on the, you know, the inner circle of that mm-hmm. group. And, you know, maybe, and if Heather is someone that they're talking about, and if Nasir is someone that they're talking about, even Erica, you know, why don't you try to like wrangle these people a little bit and bring them in and say, okay, listen, here's where we're at. This is the split. You guys are in the middle. You have a chance to go this way or that way. And we could turn the tide. And if they were to do that, if you've got Nasir and Erica and Heather willing to come over to Yasa, they're 3-3 then, right? So they're not even hurting themselves, because then they're not the minority or the majority. They're just part of a majority. And then that puts that core four on the outs, really. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like they could have put themselves in a better position mathematically, you know, as far as the votes are concerned, as opposed to staying with the group over here, because they're always going to be the bottom three. They aren't going to be the top of that group. Instead, they could have moved themselves to more of an even playing field if they had switched over.
Yeah. And I do think they should have tried that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Tiffany's plan was, and perhaps Evie's plan, too. I don't know if it would have succeeded. I think that even though Nasir's name has gotten mentioned, I think he believes he's in with the main group.
Yeah.
I think Erica, who was gone for 2 days and didn't know she was going to be the target till she turned back time, I think she believes she's in the main group.
Right.
I think Heather, even if she doesn't believe she's necessarily in the overall group, she saw how Deshaun put his foot down. You will not go after Heather. So she knows she's in there, too. So it would have been hard for the Yase to wrangle them. Do I still think they should have? Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Would have been a smart move.
Yeah. Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. We're back, so let's get back to the show. All right. Well, it's about time to wrap things up. So what are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts. I'm going to miss Tiffany, but I am thoroughly looking forward to seeing her on the jury, because if we know there is anything about Tiffany, it is those lovely facial expressions. And I'm sure that we will be getting a lot of those while she sits in the jury. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Unfortunately, I'm not looking forward to her not being in the game anymore. I do think that Tiffany came into this game with some potential issues. You know, she was that mom type, right? And so, of course, everyone is kind of assuming if you're the mom archetype, your game is probably going to be short-lived. You're not going to be able to make inroads with these younger individuals. And we saw Tiffany work completely against that. And she managed to get herself in with a core group of people. And she managed to really have someone in her corner that was willing to work with her, as she described, her own ride or die, which is a huge, huge thing to have mm-hmm. when you're playing Survivor. So I think she came into this game with a plan that she was trying to carry out, and she was doing a great job in doing so. Unfortunately for Tiffany, and this is something she actually discussed, she found herself on a tribe that was losing more than another tribe, but not as much as that third tribe. And so it's like this weird place to be in the middle when your numbers are dwindling, not as much as this group over here. But over here, you're completely getting outplayed. And so she found herself in a situation where she needed to play the game. She needed to make decisions about who to vote out, and then found herself on the outs because she was part of this small minority group that was coming into the merge together. And they had really been committed to each other. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to make the move she wanted to make, because I think that core group from Love You was just They're going to hold on. They're going to hold on tight. And she found herself on the outs and couldn't find her way to get into that group. And so, unfortunately for Tiffany, I think she had a lot of awesome plans. And we did see at least one of those awesome plans come to fruition because she was able to make that incredible move with that terrible advantage that Liana had. And she was able to just wreck that. And I love that. And I wish we could have seen more of that from Tiffany because clearly she was there to play. She was making decisions and she wanted to do so much more. But she just found herself in the minority and she could not dig her way out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say Tiffany played a good early game and put herself into what seemed to be a pretty decent position. But that position relied on her tribe mates staying strong. She didn't have as much of a relationship with Xander strategically. Evie did. It also seemed like Evie was the one who had the tighter relationship with Liana. And Liana never seemed to get over that vote that in her mind was supposed to get rid of Xander. So rather than follow the Yase plan, Liana immediately flipped to Shan and took things into her own hands. Don't get me wrong. Looking out for yourself is, of course, the right thing to do on Survivor, as long as you do it correctly. The plan was for Liana to bring over Shan and Ricard to the Yase side so they could fight against Love You. Instead, Liana jumped to Shan and then all of them joined Love You, creating a supermajority. Tiffany was left out in the cold. And then things turned positively freezing after the first merged tribal council as Xander abandoned her as well, and then Evie won immunity. As I discussed earlier, if the drivers of Love You were still looking to get rid of a woman outside their alliance, the number had dwindled down to one. Even if that wasn't the case and they were looking to avoid sparking an idle showdown while still targeting someone outside their alliance, again, that number was down to one. There are people in the supermajority who don't seem to realize they're not really in that group, but they don't understand that yet. So as I mentioned in Appendix A, sometimes a consensus vote happens to put off breaking everybody up. The breakup almost happened anyway, but Deshaun's resistance plus Shan not wanting to lose an ally put a stop to that. Tiffany told Mike Bloom, "Ultimately, Deshaun was my demise." And there is some truth to that as the last straw. But there were a number of other straws that had already piled up. Many of them were not specifically of her own making, but rather were echoes of things that happened earlier in the game. She put her foot down for the Voce vote. Things went her way at the time, and it made sense. But it also led to an embittered Liana turning on her and a self-preserving Xander doing the same. Like a baby turtle trying to dig out of the sand, everything below her shifted and fell, and she couldn't get her footing at the merge. And that is why Tiffany lost.
The baby turtle analogy.
Yes, had to go with a baby turtle analogy. Love it. It was either that or a crab analogy, and, you know, she ate the crab. So.
That she grabbed with her bare hands.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we get to our predictions, let me remind everyone that the rules we just discussed are available at, in poster and T-shirt and, of course, sweatshirt and, of course, mug form.
Everything.
Yes. At robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed.
Excellent.
So, time for predictions. I figure I can't be more wrong than I was last time. So let's go in the opposite direction. We saw the infighting at this tribal council, and the preview suggests that there will be more of that. I'm not buying it. Yeah, I know I said the same thing last week, and you know, but there's no way they're going to be honest in the previews 2 weeks in a row, right?
With the editing now, I don't even know what's happening anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, this wasn't a great episode for Shan's edit or for Deshaun's edit. But I think those are longer term issues, not something that's going to happen right away.
Right.
We also have Nasir and Heather not very happy with one another or with the rest of their tribe. And some members of the tribe are not very happy with them. But again, I don't think that will come to a head yet, even though Heather almost got herself voted out. I think for at least one more vote, the supermajority keeps it simple. And that means going back to target the person they were trying to vote out this time, Evie.
Yep.
Now, I have a few reasons for thinking this is how it will happen. First,
Xander's taking it even a step further.
Yes. Xander still has his idol. Mm-hmm. And it at least seems like a few people are willing to work with him. Second, and this is a little bit of edit reading here.
Okay.
This is not edgic. I'm not doing charts and stuff like that. This is just normal edit reading like I've been doing since day one.
Okay.
And, you know, half the time I'm wrong. I have to wonder why producers gave credit to Xander for coming up with Mergatory when Tiffany said she did. And more importantly, the whole plan to fake out Liana, that was primarily what Tiffany and Evie put together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One possible reason is simple chauvinism. But I'm hoping the show has addressed that editing issue like they've tried to address other issues. So I think a more likely explanation is that Xander makes it the furthest.
Mm-hmm.
And they want him to show him as having a larger role.
Yep.
I mean, he might make it all the way to the final three if that's the case.
I think he's going to.
Okay. Well, I mean, if he does, I'll certainly be interested to see how he gets there.
Yeah.
But if he does, that could explain why we've seen these things attributed to him.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's interesting with the, that's why I think all of these little conversations that we're seeing, these little breakdowns become very significant.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've talked previously about those players that they just never vote out. And they're like, oh, we'll get to that person. We'll get mm-hmm. to that person. We'll get there. And then they finally realize that they can't anymore. You know,
right.
Something happens and all of a sudden the person that you've been discussing, voting out this entire time is now sitting in the final three
mm-hmm.
because nobody actually pulled the trigger. Nobody did what they were supposed to do because they start looking in instead of out. And I think that that's what's going to happen with Xander. Xander has positioned himself in a way where people in that majority want to work with him. They're interested in it. And he's also kind of placating them. He's like, thank you so much. You know, thank you. And making them feel like he's only there because of them. And I think Xander's incredibly smart. And that's one thing that all of his pre-game press, I mean, he is a very, very smart guy. So I think he's playing that up as much as he has to in order to get as far along with these people as he can. And then let them fight with each other. Let it all come back in on each other. And then all of a sudden they're going to start wanting, oh, we'll just take out this person first. We'll do that. Xander, would you help me? I need to take care of this person over here.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden Xander's going to be like sitting pretty.
Well, have you looked at him? He's always sitting pretty.
Well, that's true. Too.
But
I do agree. I think Evie is going home next. I unfortunately, I think unless she wins immunity again, I don't know how that's going to be avoided.
Yeah. I mean, at least the two of them will have fun on Ponderosa together, I suppose.
That is true. That is definitely true. They'll have a great time.
But, you know, besides that, yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. If Xander does make it to the end that way, well, then he made the right move in abandoning the Yase 3.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
So we'll have to, you know, just keep that in mind, what, 5 or so weeks from now when the finale airs.
I know. I don't even know when it is.
December 15th. It was announced.
Okay. Good to know.
So, yes. All right. Well, as we wrap up, so we have the same pick again, which means we're almost certainly wrong.
I know. It's terrible. But yeah. I was like, who else would I pick?
Right. I mean, Heather, to me, was the only other option.
Right.
But I still think it'll be heavy. Anyway, as we wrap up, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhasawebsite.com/patron or our page on YX Lost Feet. November, as we mentioned last week, is a great month to become a patron. You get access to our weekly Survivor Q&A show, Patron 5 for 5. There was the Survivor Patron Trivia Night. It returned this month with like 400 participants. And even when Rob is not talking directly to everyone, there are Facebook groups, there's Discord, keep you occupied with a great community of people, including both of us. You can talk about Survivor, Big Brother, or life in general. You can support shows like this one and everything else in the network by becoming a patron again at robhasawebsite.com/patron or click on the link at robhasawebsite.com/YX Lost Feed. And once you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello.
And you should also say hello on Twitter. I am at JessicaLewis89 right there. And he is at David Bloomberg. You should certainly follow us both because then you get both sides of the story. You get all of the incredible tweets that we send out into the universe, not just during Survivor, but just during our regular lives as well. And also, I'm going to throw this out there again. You need to follow David Bloomberg on TikTok because he is at David E or
at David underscore Bloomberg.
Okay. The E is Instagram, isn't it?
Yes. I'm David.E.Bloomberg on Instagram.
All right. So at David underscore Bloomberg is TikTok. You have to check out his TikToks because they're awesome and very entertaining, and he puts a lot of work into them. So
definitely
follow him on TikTok. Follow us both on Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram if you want to. I'm at Jessica Lewis 6789. There's too much. But yes, so follow us and you can enjoy all of the things we put out to the universe.
Yes, yes. On TikTok, I've been posting around one a day. On Wednesday, I posted two because I posted one with some of my rant that you heard earlier. Some of that, you know, if you were on TikTok, you got to see an early version of that rant right after it happened. We'll see you there. Make sure you're subscribed to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts by going to, again, our YX Lost feed page. You'll find great content like the Know-It-Alls, the B&B, Taryn Armstrong, Stockwatch, Shannon Gus, International Survivor. Make sure you subscribe.
And we should say thank you to everyone who does all of the incredible work for this Why Blank Lost podcast and RHAP in general. Thank you, Scott St. Pierre, for all of the editing that you do. It is incredibly quickly done. I was very impressed. So thank you, Scott, for all of the incredible work. And also thank you to Will from America for the theme song that was created for Why Blank Lost. It's quite catchy. Thank you so much. We enjoy it. And thank you, everyone, for joining us again and sitting through an hour and almost 30 minutes of a podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. And thank you, David, for another incredible day, starting out my Saturday with David Bloomberg.
Yes. And thank you, Jessica. As always, and we will be right back here next week to talk about whoever lost. We're predicting it's Evie. We're hoping it's not, but there's so many people to root for on this cast. I don't know who I would hope it is.
So we'll see.
Yep. We'll see. And we'll see you right here in 1 week. Bye.
Bye.
A survivor and you're feeling down. David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why blank lost. And this is why blank lost. Ooh, baby, this is why blank lost.